Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and nine months FY25 earnings conference call of Trans Rail Lighting Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arafat Saiyed from InCred Research. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Arafat. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of InCred Research, I welcome you all. Today, we are hosting the management of Trans Rail Lighting for a maiden conference call to discuss 3Q and nine-month FY24 performance. The management team is represented by Mr. Randeep Nara, the MD and CEO, and Mr. Ajit Pratap Singh, the CFO. So without further ado, I will hand your call to Mr. Randeep sir for opening commentary. Then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thanks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me immense pleasure to welcome all of you for our first post-IPO earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 months ending 31st December. Before I proceed, I hope you had a chance to go through the earnings presentation uploaded on the exchanges and our website. I'd like to begin by giving you some insights about our company, our business, and the industry per se. Joining me on this call is our CFO, Ajit Pratap Singh, Chintan Kotak, our internal IR, and our investor relations advisor at Factors PR. Now, let me take you through our company. As we have recently been listed, some of you may not be very familiar with us, but I'd like you to provide you a brief introduction. We are a leading Indian engineering, procurement and construction company focusing on power T&D for over the last 40-41 years. We have few players with integrated manufacturing facilities for lattice structures, that is towers, conductors, monopoles, with a very modern testing tower testing facility. We provide comprehensive turnkey solutions worldwide with a footprint across 58 countries. As a growing enterprise, we are well diversified in our business operations, and the key verticals are power T&D, including transmission lines, substation, underground cabling and distribution work. To civil construction, we are in very niche and selective areas like bridges, cooling towers, tunneling and elevated roads. Third is a poles and lighting business, which is again a small vertical which has a very complex and huge range of products. Last but not the least is railway, including railway electrification, traction substations and signaling and telecommunication. We have done more than 200 EPC large-scale projects across the world, and we established and trusted a long-standing partner for many, many clients. Further, since it's our first post-IPO earnings call, I'd like to introduce our chairman and promoter, Mr. D.C. Bagre, a well-known industry doyen in EPC industry. He started Trans Rail 40 years ago and is in the helm of the company as a chairman and promoter and guides us on the journey as we grow together. Prior to starting Trans Rail, Mr. Bagre spent 12 years in KEC International as in the engineering and project management department. I would also like to introduce myself. I have been 36 years experience, out of which 15 years is in T&D. Prior to joining Trans Rail, I have been here 4.5 years. I was the president of KEC International, handling the international business along with RPG cables, and prior to that 4.5 years I was handling the domestic and SAARC business. So that's my background. Now let me take you through the quarterly and 9 month highlights. We have raised 400 crores in the IPO as mentioned earlier, and we propose to utilize 250 crores towards our funding working capital and 90 crores towards CapEx expansion. On the CapEx, we have got an in-principle approval from our board for 327 crores, which will be used in the 18 to 24 months going forward. This includes 90 crores of IPO fund for CapEx already defined. This CapEx will be utilized for expanding our existing manufacturing plants, conductors and poles, and we also look forward to putting up a new tower manufacturing plant going forward. Now coming to specific some of the business highlights, we've been awarded one package as part of the 800 kV HVDC JPS2 Nagpur transmission line. We also secured the first solar EPC order in international market for 800 megawatt DC ground mount solar PV project, including associate substation in our international business. We received EPC contract for 400 kV DC transmission line in Nepal. We also received for supply of high mast and metal fencing for India's first bullet train through our coal division. We successfully commissioned the highest natural draft cooling tower in NDCT, 199 meters at Yadadri, Telangana. We successfully commissioned 400 kV AIS base extension and 220 kV GIS base extension of power grid, Banka substation. And another good news is that we have received the upgrade from CRISIL on a rating and long-term banking facilities now at CRISIL A plus stage. Further, we have received special appreciation from Power Grid for role in commissioning two double circuit transmission lines of 400 kV and 765 kV in the first quarter of this year. We won the Maharashtra Safety Award 2023 for the lowest accident frequency rate and the longest accident free period in a heavy engineering group. So these are some of the business highlights. Now coming to the financial highlights, yeah. I'll request our CFO to take us through, please.
Thank you, sir. So now let me share the financial highlights of the quarter ended and 9 months ended 31st December 2024. Starting with the quarterly results, our revenue from operations grew by 62% on year-on-year basis to 1357 crore in Q3 FY25. EBITDA grew up by 79.9% year-on-year basis to ₹179.8 crore, leading to EBITDA margins of 13.24% on standalone basis. Our PAT for the quarter increased to ₹93.24 crore, resulting in a YoY growth of 91.89%. Moving on 9 months performance, our revenue from operations grew by 25.25% to ₹3361 crore. EBITDA grew by 41.96% to 438.48 crore with an EBITDA margin of 13.04% year to date. This growth was driven by improved execution and cost controls of international domestic projects. Power transmission and distribution continues to be our major focus area, and out of total revenue from operations of 3361 crore in 9 months FY25, contribution from power transmission and distribution was 2837 crore. That's approximately 84% of our total revenue. The rest of the revenue came from civil, poles and railways in that order. While we have added many large scale T&D projects, including projects involving STLS conductors and EPC or HVDC lines, in 9 months ended 31st December 2024, we have also received a prestigious project for construction of elevated road in Udaipur in our civil vertical. Further, our railway vertical secured overhead electrification works for 426 TKM. And last but not the least, our core vertical continued to creation of marquee structure. We got an order from L&T.
Thanks, Ajit. So we will now go through the order book. I'd like to brief you that our total order book, including L1, stands at 15,643 crores as of 31st December. With 49% domestic and 51% international. During the 9 month period, December 24, we were at 4715 crores order book, which is a 50% growth over last year. And further, L1 stands at 4144 crores as of December 24. T&D contributes 90% of our total order book, making us a prominent T&D company. Our order book in international markets is majorly backed by multilateral funding agency and are secured through letters of credit, ensuring a very strong commercial payment security. During Q3, as part of the strategy which we had planned and when we got listed, We are looking at entering the solar EPC business and received the first order for ground mount solar PV project for 800 megawatts for international market along with associated substation. Therefore, we are very poised to deliver the continued growth in the coming quarters. On the economy, I would like to mention that the finance minister's budget recently announced, there is a huge commitment to economic growth, particularly the infrastructure segment, where 11.21 lakh crores is in earmarked, which is just 10% growth over previous year. This balanced approach is strategic focus on critical sectors such as power, T&D, renewables, urban infrastructure, aims at seamlessly align with our growth ambitions, creating continued opportunities for growth for Transrail. To conclude my opening remarks, I'd like to say that we at Transrail, the management team, we believe in a simple philosophy of simplicity, self-confidence and speed, and this is what we know are the base and key words of Mr. Jack Welsh-Ji. We believe that we will remain committed to continuous growth, strong execution and value creation for our stakeholders. So with this, I like to open the Q&A and look forward to receiving your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Vineet from Toro Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning. First of all, congratulations for the good set of numbers. And my question, I have two questions. First is with regard to the CapEx that you have mentioned in your introduction part, right? If you can please repeat what was the CapEx and the timeline of the CapEx and where is it going to be used?
Okay, and the second question please?
And second is with respect to the order book, so if you can please mention the execution timeline of the order book as well.
Okay. So firstly on the CapEx front, we have planned approximately 125 crores for factory expansion, existing brownfield, which we are already planned 90 crores from our IPO. We are looking at executing projects for tools and plants and equipment. We have planned around 80 odd crores. And we plan to put in a new tower manufacturing unit for which we have earmarked 115 crores. So that is the overall breakup of the plan. As I mentioned, that part of it has been given as a in principle approval, and this will take 18 to 24 months to execute. So answering the second question on the order book, our order book 15,000 odd crores with L1. Normally the international execution period is 24 to 30 months and domestic is 18 to 24 months. So we are well placed for 2 to 2.5 years in terms of our order book. I hope that answers your queries, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manish Ostwal from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and good set of numbers for this quarter and 9 months. My first question on our international business. So, first, on the 51% of order book coming from the international segment, so can you tell us the two geographies that we are operating, number one, and secondly, and did we see any major loss from our international business and in our business history?
Okay. So, firstly, as you mentioned in my opening comments, we work mostly with multilateral funding agencies in our international business. Our key markets are Africa, SAARC, and Southeast Asia. We have not made any loss in any of our international projects. Yes, projects may get delayed by 3-6 months because of exigencies of ROW or any kind of funding delays by the funding agency. However, we don't have any problem, and we are very happy with the growth of our international business. If you see, our international business has grown from 38% in 22 to 53% in 23, 59% of our overall business in 24, and now it's hovering around 5%. So we see that the execution in international business is something which we are very keenly working on.
Sure. The second is, this is our business mix. So we are largely a T&D company, but we are now building other segments also. So from a medium-term perspective, do you see the other non-T&D segment contribution, the order book and as well as the revenue can increase to 20-25%? How we should think about the non-T&D
We continue to be predominantly a T&D company, with 85% being T&D. 15% will be a healthy mix of civil, railways and post division. And that's the manner in which we want to maintain it.
And the last question is the sustainability of our operating margins. So when I compared to you talk about the key management person and from KEC, and then look at the peer group margin trajectory, our margin is far superior. So first is obviously we have integration advantage, but in terms of competitive landscape and the sustainability of current margin, what is your comment on the sustainability over the medium term of the current margin?
Yeah, so we know the order book profile and the order book margin. And we are looking at a 12.5% plus EBITDA margin going forward. What you would notice is that we are fully backward integrated, and we have conductors, poles and tower manufacturing facility, which not all our competitors have. Also, what you see, we are predominantly T&D, 90%, 85 to 90%. The others have diversified on different other verticals. So I would say this is sustainable business EBITDA margin, which will continue in the medium to medium term.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and all the best for coming quarters and years. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
The next question comes from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. On this margin question itself, so when you have to consider the product, which is pole conductor and power, so what portion of this would be as a part of your revenue? And, you know, does it mean that in projects, your margin will be similar to a competitor margin and the differential is this? And if this is the differential, what is the portion of revenue coming from pole conductor and power?
Yeah, so if you notice, we are a full play EPC company. We do turnkey projects. So what helps us is winning jobs with our backward integration. And conductors and towers are almost 60% of a value of a EPC turnkey job for transmission line. 30% is construction and 10% is what we do in terms of water. So the play which we have is sustainable, and therefore our margin profile is what we believe is the main. It's also the quality of the job and our focus on the T&D space per se.
Okay. And so if you have to pick, if you have to put up a margin on pure EPC, have you bought out everything, and what should it be a margin number?
So, as I said, our EPC margin, which is predominantly in the range of 12 to 12.5% is what we are looking forward going forward.
Okay. And on the inflow and the backlog number, so you guys have given the inflow number for the 9-month current year and the backlog number of the 9-month current year. How would it stack versus last year?
Last year, we were in the range of 4,500 crores order book. This year we are looking at 4,000 already done and another 4,000 of L1, and which should fructify by end of March.
So let's say the 4,700 inflow for 9 months, this is versus 4,000 crore inflow for the full year.
Correct. So perhaps 3,000 getting converted this year.
Sorry?
another 3,000 crores getting converted out of 4,144.
Okay. And what was the backlog number at the same time last year versus this 11,500 crores?
Last year we would have been in the range of
around 3,000
last year. 10,000 odd crores.
10?
Yes.
And what should be the expected revenue for FY25 after the 9 months that have passed? And based on the backlog that you have, what should be the expected revenue for FY26?
Yeah, so we had given earlier guidance that we did 4,100 crores last year. We looked at a 30% growth, and that guidance we continue to maintain for this financial year ending March 25.
And any numbers for FY26?
At 26, we are looking at, with the current order intake plan, we will look at another 25% growth on the numbers for this year, and that is the annual operating plan we are working on.
So basically, it's 4,500
next year. So 4,000 last year, this year will be 30% on that, and next year will be 25% on what we finish in on March 20.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
So,
thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hardik Gori from Alpha Plus Capital Associates. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, in the first 9 months, 68% of the order flow is from the domestic market. So how are we expecting the international order book to shape up going forward?
So the international order book, we have in the L1, around 50% of what is L1 is international. And we also had around 30% orders awarded in international. So our overall mix should be 50-50 as we go forward. For us, the key driver is the quality of the project, whether domestic or international, the ability to finish the job on time, before time completion, and therefore, and of course the margin profile, which is very important, and therefore that's what decides our decision to bid or not to bid.
That's really impactful, sir. And when is the new production capacity scheduled to become operational?
The brownfield will take 6 months. And the new plant would, as I said, would take 12 to 18 months.
Got it. And sir, how are we managing the risk associated with the receivables, particularly for orders from Bangladesh?
So, Ajit, would like to answer this? So, we are actually pretty well placed. Our CFO will just share with you.
So, that liver coffee project, one, we got the LC, payment security from the bank. So, the payment is secured, and in terms of overall structure, if you see, we are in the money. We have advanced from the customer, which is more than my receivable, and we are in the money by around 106 crores in the work crossing project.
So therefore, we are well covered. Project is getting executed well, and the client is supporting the faster execution and payment of funds from Bangladesh.
And so this is of very high priority for them because their power plant and other transmission lines are also almost ready. So they are giving high priority for execution as well as payment.
Got it. That's really insightful, sir. Thanks for taking my question. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question comes from the line of Vinod from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So you mentioned about getting a package as part of the 800 kV HVDC, Khavda Nagpur transmission. So what is our role in this package, and who has awarded the package? Has Power Grid directly awarded this package, or is it Hitachi Energy who has awarded the package?
This is our biggest client, Power Grid, and our goal is end-to-end turnkey project for this particular job. This is a 42-month job. And we are awarded this job to complete it as per the requirements of the contract issued by Power Grid.
No, sir, just to understand further, you will be doing the stringing and erection of the tower?
The turnkey, we start from the foundation, erection, stringing and supply.
Okay. So how much would be our addressable portion of this project? So if I break down this between the, you know, HVDC systems, substations, and the power systems, and what we are doing, broad break.
This is in the range of 300 to 400 crores. This is the range of the package.
Okay. Question I had is on your working capital. Your working capital seems to be way better than some of your other peers in the T&D space. So, you know, how is that differential, sir? Is it like, are you discounting more, or is it more of collection efficiency or customer profile? Because customer profile, I think, is similar because, you know, 50-50 being international and domestic or competition as well.
No, our customer profile is little different. Our more is international compared to domestic. That's one thing. And in terms of working capital cycle, if you see over last 2-3 years, because we are increasing in revenue, our working capital cycle is also increasing. As of 31st March 2024, it was around 23 days, and standing at around 96 days, which includes our IPO funds raised lying as current assets. If you remove that, then our working capital cycle comes to around 64 days. So principally, we are in the same norm of the industry, 70 to 80 days. Our efficiency for collection, we work with mostly very well-renowned clients in India. We have reduced our working state facilities.
Mm-hmm.
We also choose very carefully nationally. Very big, and we have a risk matrix where 50% of the jobs we don't bid based on the funding, the ability of the client, the consultant, and we work mostly with multilateral funding internationally.
Okay. Sir, just one more again on the same topic. You would be working with both Power Grid and some of the private transmission operators like, say, Adani or Sterlite. So how has your experience been, you know, vis-a-vis Power Grid and the private operators on margins and payment cycles?
So on payment cycles, I think we have no issues at all. Power Grid and the private players are very prompt, and they are absolutely on the ball as per the contract terms and credit terms. So we have no issue at all. In fact, they are very supportive, and we have a very good relationship.
Because our customer is primarily from T&D, Power Grid, they pay in time, whereas after they shift to other business, their payment cycle could be elongated.
No. So how about margins? Margins are similar with a private order as well as a Power Grid order?
That is very detailed segment, but I would say it is pretty similar in the range. And it's not very different at all.
Okay. And so typically, how does the tendering work? Is there a pre-bid discussion which takes place before the transmission system operator also quotes for those transmission lines?
So we get a job, and we quote and compete with other players in India, 7 to 8 players.
Okay.
Based on your L1, you are invited, there could be a reverse option also, and then once you are winning this, then you have an understanding with a pre-bid, and when they win the job, they will allocate the job.
Okay. Thank you so much for the answer, sir.
Thank you, Vinod.
A reminder to participants, please restrict yourself to 2 questions. If you have any more questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand in terms of margin, are we making higher margin on the export order?
So the margin profile in international market is marginally higher than domestic by 1-2%. That is correct. However, when we are working with multilateral funding agencies, we also have better commercial terms.
So, if I were to understand the margin increase YOY or QOQ, is there a product mix or is there a mix change involved here, export versus domestic?
I think that's a good question. So let me help you to understand. In domestic, our margin profile has improved. There were some legacy projects which we have completed, and our margin now is going in the right direction, and therefore the margin improvement. In international projects, we had some accelerated execution which has helped us to improve the margin profile here.
Okay, so I just want to understand the going forward, our domestic order inflow is rising and export is kind of, the portion of export will come down as we understand. So 12.5, consider that, your guidance of 12.5% margin?
Yeah, we will continue with that. I'd like to add on the domestic front. See, we have a very specific bidding strategy as to where to pick our jobs, with whom to, and how do we look at better margin jobs. So that has also helped us in the last 6-9 months. We've got new jobs which are better margin.
Okay, and sir, one more thing. Just last one, sir.
This was your last, these were your two questions. Could you?
Okay, fine.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. The next question comes from the line of Balakrishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations with your number. So the first question is regarding this.
Bala, could you please be a little louder?
Please be a little loud.
Yes, sure, one minute. So first question is on Bangladesh exposure. So out of in the total order quantity, how much is from the Bangladesh, and what could be the receivable status for this share?
So Bangladesh is around 20% of our total order book. Our CFO just mentioned that we are in the positive based on the advances we have, and our payment cycle is based on the contracted terms, and it is moving in the right direction.
Okay, sir. And secondly, on this margin front, so I think as you told that some legacy projects in the domestic front are completed, so I think it is fair to assume that the current margins will sustain even further. Also, we have given 12.5% of guidance, so I feel it could be very conservative, right?
So our margin profile, as I have just mentioned, will be in the range of 12-12.5% going forward, and we are confident because the order book we have, we know the margin profile and the execution timeline, so therefore we will be in that zone as indicated.
So lastly, on this any projects in the past, do we have any write-off history of projects because of some issues with the customer, like we are dealing with the government entities, so there could be some write-off issues in the end. So what could be the approximate percentage, even in domestic or international?
Actually, we don't have any negatives or any losses through any of our projects either getting stopped or losing out, because these are all multilaterally funded internationally. In domestic, we work with top clients, as you just mentioned, private and power grid. So we don't have any of such past, I would say, even a decade.
There's no material.
Yeah, could you please continue?
Yeah, so our CFO was saying
there's no material or substantial write-off in any of our receivables.
So that's good to hear, sir. Lastly, I would like to have some comments. I think it is first quarterly result after you listed. We came up with a good number. So unlike other companies which come through IPO with great numbers, and after that the listing, the numbers will be very far away from the numbers posted before the IPO. So I congratulate you on the way you're explaining the investors also. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bala, and welcome.
Thank you so much. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Shah from Ambit Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on a good quarter. So I just had a question regarding our FY25 guidance. So you mentioned that we're looking at around 30% growth over FY24. So that would be around 5,200 crores of revenue. Looking at 9 months, we've done around 3,300. So
are we confident that we'll be able to deliver 2,000 crores in Q4? And like, what's the seasonality like? Because we don't have the base quarter. So just to get an idea, what color can you give on that, please?
That's a good question. Traditionally in P&D, most companies and businesses do 40% in H1 and 60% in H2. So in line with those focus areas, because H1, 3 months are also monsoon months, so we are pretty confident that we will be achieving that 30% focus we are depending on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshaay Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congrats on the great set of numbers. So firstly, I wanted to understand on the industry side, if you see the government CapEx on the domestic side is 9.2 lakh crores, correct? And overall, there is a very big demand for the substation EPC. And you are also the part of the substation EPC. So how big will be the opportunity on the substation EPC? Can you know more about that? How big is the market for that?
I can inform you that substation and transmission lines normally come together. Standalone could be an HVDC substation. So the market opportunity going forward would be huge for T&D, almost 1 lakh crore. It depends on when the substation job will be announced and contractually completed. So it's very difficult to give you a percentage, but normally substation transmission is a 70-30 mix.
Okay. And secondly, I wanted to understand on the working capital side, you have said right that on industry there is a 70-80 days, but on a books it seems to be that the trade payables are very high, so on accounting basis it seems that there is a negative working capital, but it is not a negative. So what's the reason for that?
Working capital is not negative. There are receivables, retention, inventory, as well as bank balances as part of current assets. So net to net, if you see, we have a working capital days of around 94 days. And if we remove our IPO funds, we will come down to around 64 days. And in T&D, that's the norm across industry. In case of peers, the numbers could be little higher because of their diversification to other sectors, where working capital cycle could be high.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for answering.
Thank you, Sir Pamad.
The next question comes from the line of Pratik Bhandari from Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand about the CAPEX. You stated that 90 crores would be utilized from the IPO proceeds. And what would be the total quantum and for which purpose are we using? Can you state the quantum and the purpose of the total CAPEX?
So, we have got a principal approval from our board for 327 crores. Out of which 90 crores was already planned for a brownfield expansion. Subsequently, we are looking at putting up a new tower factory, which will be around 120 odd crores. And 80 odd crores will be for construction T&D, tools and plants, around 80 odd crores. They are very specific needs based on our order book. And all the diversification is planned on the order book and completion of jobs in the next 18 to 24 months.
Okay, so 90 crores would be from the IPO out of the 327 crores, right?
Yes, right.
And the remaining would be for the setting up of plant, you stated the tower plant.
Yeah, that will be in the range of 12 to 18 months. We will do that, and this will be through internal accruals and debt.
And what will be the quantum of CAPEX for the tower one, specific, if you can repeat?
120 odd crores.
120 odd crores. And then 80 odd crores is for?
Tools and plants.
Tools and plants. Okay.
For fixed execution equipment. Construction equipment, project execution equipment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Pratik.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, very good afternoon and congratulations for the amazing number. I just want to know a little bit more about our Bangladesh market. As you said that we are generating around 20% of order book from the Bangladesh. So there has been a political disturbance over there. So do you face any operational challenges over there in terms of delay in the project? Or how do we see the Bangladesh market going forward in terms of the revenue mix going forward? And the second question relating to our debt level, currently we are maintaining around 0.55 times of debt to equity. And going forward, how do we maintain our debt to equity in terms of debt to equity? And what is our cost of debt as of now?
Okay. So we'll take it into part. I will answer the Bangladesh bit first and then our CFO will talk about the debt to equity. Principally, Bangladesh in the month of August, there was a slowdown because of the change in the political environment and all Indian companies did come back. However, within 1 month, we started work. We are doing 6 projects there, 4 with Exim and 1 is ADB and 2 with Bangladesh government. We see there is no issue in terms of project execution or funding and things have normalized in Bangladesh for us. In fact, the client Power Grid of Bangladesh is very keen to finish their jobs on time and is supporting the funding process for us. Now coming to the second question, debt to equity, you also said.
So our debt to equity ratio as on 31st December 2024 was 0.42. as against 0.53 as on 30th September 2024. We are going to raise some fresh debt for the expansion plans, which will come over a period next 18 to 24 months. And we'll also increase our net worth by getting new profits. So in the debt equity ratio will almost be in the same range. We don't expect any substantial increase in terms of debt equity. Our average cost of debt is around 11% of now, weighted average cost of debt.
So, and do we see, have we received any fresh orders from the Bangladesh market as of now?
No, these are all orders which we got year and a half ago. And we are keen to execute these jobs before we look into a fresh set of orders there.
Thank you, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Kaushal.
The next question comes from the line of Shivam Dave from Prodigy Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Shivam, please be a little louder. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, congrats on the great set of numbers. Sir, I wanted to understand that are we facing any labor shortage in the domestic market as of now? And the second question is related to Bangladesh. Today, around 20% of our order book comes from Bangladesh. Going forward, how much do you think this mix should reduce or do you intend to still bid for projects over there? And what are the type of companies that are usually bidding in Bangladesh? You know, how many players are domestic? How many players from India usually bid in Bangladesh? If you could share some mix on that.
Okay. So, domestic labor for subcontractors, yes, there was a crunch in the quarter two, particularly monsoon season, but things have eased out. And we are getting the right kind of subcontractors and teams to work on our projects. So that position has changed a bit post the monsoon period. On Bangladesh, when the change in government happened, 17 Indian companies came back from Bangladesh and they were all the big 4-5 infrastructure companies. These are very well known and available in the general public information. The principal point is we are not bidding any new jobs and this 20% will by end of next year will reduce to almost 10% of our order book going forward. So we will be only left with residual work left by end of next year. And what is more important is that we see the execution happening on time. We get support from the Power Grid of Bangladesh. So and our teams are settled there. More than 70 odd people are based there. So work is happening as per our plan.
Okay, so this should get around 10% by next year and you're not bidding for any new orders in Bangladesh.
10%.
Okay, okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nikhil Opsani from Kizula Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So, sir, my first question is, like, on the international projects, like, there is any kind of competition there, like, the large players are going for a larger order, and there's a small players, there's a high competition there. So, how do we check on the eligibility criteria, and how do we target our international projects? And is there any kind of Chinese competition there, like we were talking about entering into Australian markets? So, how tough is the Chinese competition there?
So, let me share with you, international market, as I mentioned, if you did notice and hear, that we work with mostly multilateral funding agency. We have a clear risk matrix as to where to bid and what are the challenges, whether it is political, geographic, or the terrain, or how do we look at the local conditions, the utility. All those are considered, and then we are careful in selection of our jobs. So, one part of your answer is that international jobs, one is careful and all bids are approved at the highest level of our company. International competition, yes, there is Indian players, there are Chinese and there are local players, and the quality of your bid depends on what kind of homework you have done locally, how carefully have you analyzed the project and the duration of the project and the ingredients of the project. So, we as a company who are very clear on their cost focus and backward integration are careful when we bid, and we bid to win to make sure that we have that opportunity. We also have pre-qualification for our factories and all the jobs we have done. So, we are very qualified globally and locally also. So, therefore, that gives us an opportunity to bid for jobs. However, the choice of bidding depends on us, where we want to bid and not want to bid. Your last question was on Australia. Australia, we don't want to do EPC. We only want to supply products, be it conductors or towers. And we are going slow there, and we are building our pre-qualification with the clients there. So, I hope I've answered all questions.
Yes, sir. That was great to hear. Bless you all. And so my second question is, like, now our domestic mix is increasing, and as we said that we have better marginal margins in international projects. So now as our domestic book increases a little bit, we will see a little bit of pressure on the margins. So is that understanding correct, sir?
No, the understanding is not correct, because domestic, again, we choose, pick and choose, our bidding strategy decides on the client and the margin profile. So, and in fact, we see an improvement in the domestic margin profile. Therefore, our sustainability of 12-12.5% will remain.
Okay, so that's great to hear. And sir, we were going to acquire Gammon Engineering. So, how is that going on? And we have just won the solar rooftop order internationally. So, was it due to that?
No, right now, that is work in progress. Nothing has finally fructified as of now. So, we will wait and watch and how things happen.
Okay, so that's great to hear. And so, on the raw material, thank you very much, and congratulations on the great set of numbers and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kushal Kasliwal from InVed Research. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand the international order book. It seems like it's 50% of our total order book. Can you provide a split between countries where we are operating these, we are having these order books?
Yes, sure. So we are in Cameroon, we have an order book in Tanzania, Niger, Mali, Bangladesh. We also have orders in Philippines, so Nepal. So, we are fairly well spread out. More than 22 countries are working currently.
So, basically, all the orders are from emerging markets. Nothing is from, you know, countries from like US or EU, right?
Yeah. So, US, we don't intend to do EPC, nor Australia. Only supply our products, which are conductors and towers. We also in Oman, we are supplying towers. So the spread is EPC, where we feel that we can do the jobs on time, quick execution, and that's strategic interest. So typically we are in Southeast Asia, Africa, SAARC, and India.
Understood. And sir, second question on the debt side, I heard earlier that the average cost of debt is around 11%. It is definitely on a higher side, sir, given the, you know, company which we are, I mean, 200-300 crore PAT which we are doing. So any comments on that? The cost of debt is actually on a slightly higher side?
Yeah, well, we don't have long-term borrowing. So basically, these are cash credit limits primarily. Long-term borrowing is very negligible amount. And this cost of borrowing is supposed to come down now with upgrade in the rating. We recently got upgrade rating from CRISIL. And because of this IPO, in terms of liquidity also will be better position, and cost of debt will definitely be coming down over a period.
Who are our current bankers?
So, we have 14 banks in our consortium, led by Canara Bank, which is a lead bank. Other big banks in the consortium are like Exim Bank, PNB Bank, ICICI, Bank of Baroda. First, Abu Dhabi Bank we have recently inducted as part of our consortium.
Fair enough.
Very good bank, efficient banking consortium.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jainam Doshi from Chris Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand what are current fund-based and non-fund-based limits, and along with that, what is the utilization levels of such limits, and the quantum of such limits, what is the expected order inflows, like order book which we can cater to?
So currently, we have fund-based appraised limit of 600 crore. And non-fund-based 4,800 crore, totaling to 5,400 crore for our regular business. Over and above, we have taken some specific project-based limits for our Bangladesh project for around 1,500 crore, which will get settled once the project is getting executed. And we are also seeking additional limits from our existing bank with new assessment which is going on.
Understood.
It's sufficient for our next 2-3 years order book.
Okay, got it. And second question is, if you could quantify the order value of the railway mast and the metal fencing order which we have got for the bullet train project.
So this is around 93 crores of order which we have.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my end. Thank you,
Mr. Joshi.
The next question comes from the line of Priyesh Babaria from Mahindra Manulife Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good afternoon. This is 201, and with respect to capacity, do we have one existing cases and in terms of conductors? So
you're not audible. Could you move to?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how much capacity do we have in terms of conductors, poles, and towers manufacturing as of now? And how much it would become after the capacity expansion? And does that post capacity expansion, does that will be enough, I mean, to cater to the order book plan?
Yeah, so Ravesh, this is something which we had planned in MSR strategically, and therefore already there is a capacity enhancement in towers and conductors as a brownfield to 25% and 30%, which work is happening and will happen in the next 6 months. And then we are looking at the additional tower factory. So these two combinations will take care of our order book going forward.
Does that answer your question, Priyesh?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nishant Gupta from Minifera Global Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. Just one question on the PAT margin. So any guidance on the PAT margin, considering that, you know, the debt will be increasing and there will be some bit of higher depreciation. So what can be a sustainable PAT margin going forward from the EBITDA margin of 12.5% which you guided earlier?
So we are currently at 5.9% PAT. For the 9 months, we are looking at a similar range of 5.9% to 6% PAT going forward.
Both for 25 and 26, sir?
26 also, we would be in the same range. The margin profile, as we mentioned, would be in the range of 12-12.5%.
and we are hopeful that with our efficiency, we will maintain this.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ayush from Shravas Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So just again, my ignorance is of market attention, but could you just list the trade receivables into where these are from region specific? Could you just do that for us?
Can you repeat your question, please?
The trade receivables.
Trade receivables.
Could you just give us a split geography wise as to where these are from?
These are both international as well as domestic trade receivables. Domestic trade receivables primarily from Power Grid Corporation of India. International trade receivables from Bangladesh, Cameroon. So it's spread between assets.
Could you just quantify those if it's possible? Percentage quantity.
Just give a percentage.
So for from civil projects, COSI, we have 121 crore trade receivable. In terms of percentage,
so you can talk about the percentage of each business.
So majorly it is from T&D business, around 85% from T&D. And in the T&D business, international would be around 50% from Bangladesh, Cameroon, Mali, Niger. And domestic would be from Power Grid Corporation of India, Adani.
So, and how much is it from Bangladesh specifically? Could you just give that number?
Bangladesh, as I said, overall we are in the money, but in terms of receivables, it's around 536 crores.
536 crores.
Yeah, and part of this is already available for payments. Almost 200 crores is available in Exim for payment. So this is work in progress.
Against this 536 crore, we also have advanced languages for an almost equivalent amount.
Okay, sure. That will be it from mine. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ayush.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hardik Gori from Alpha Plus Capital Associates. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. Historically, excluding COVID period, have there been any instance of order execution delays? If so, what has been the typical duration of these delays?
Okay. So COVID period 2020-21, there has been actually work-wise no delays, but at that point of time, there were some issues on several projects for ROW and clearances were delayed. So those projects have now getting to a completion stage, as I mentioned in the beginning of the call. Those have now almost completed. And we are not in a zone where we have to worry about it.
And except for COVID?
And in COVID time, we also grew by 7% revenue.
For 2 months loss.
And despite the 2 months loss of work time, we could manage that. Yeah. Go ahead and answer, sorry, your next question please, I missed it.
No, sir, I was asking for except COVID, what have been those instances?
So, in our T&D business, there is normal delays, which could be ROW or forest or, you know, issues with the client, and those are normal. It may be get delayed by 2 to 4 months, but that gets normalized, and you get an extension of time by the client.
Okay. And lastly, sir, what has been the typical traction on the international side on the order execution?
On the execution side, it is normally jobs are 24 to 30 months. Domestic is 18 to 24 months CVC. The traction where you have multilateral funding, they are very supportive in terms of working closely with the consultant and client and supporting the funding. And we don't see delays until unless they are from the client side.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Harvik.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
So thank you all. It's been a pleasure for you to take time out with us. We are very happy to answer your queries. This has been our first earnings call post the IPO, and we look forward to you being patient with us and looking forward to the next earnings call in the coming quarter, and wish you all the best and thank you for being with us. And for any additional queries, you may please refer to AdFactors PR or Chintan Kotak, who is our internal IR manager, for any clarification. Thank you all and thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of InCred Research, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines.